Hallelujah. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would now speak. May we have ears and hearts to receive your word for us this day. And may we be not just hearers of your word, but go forth doers. Go forth reflecting how we can build healthy, God-honoring, Christ-centered relationships for your glory and for the blessing of our lives and the lives of others, both now and for all of eternity. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God, saints. We've been in a series on relationships. And with each topic, we have said over and over, all of life is lived out in the context of relationships. In fact, the most important thing in life is what? It's relationships. Amen. Everything boils down to relationships. Now, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. Amen. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Marriage is not an institution. It is a relationship. Parenthood is all about relationships. The church is all about relationships. And at work, we got to focus on building good relationships. Amen. People come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of relationships. Everything is about relationships. Amen. I want us to take a moment and have some fun hearing what kids think about husbands and wives. When asked, how do you decide who to marry? Alan, age 10, said, you got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like if you like sports, she should like it that you like sports. And she should keep the chips and dip coming. Now, Kirsten, age 10, said, no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides for you. And then you get to find out later who you're stuck with. To the question, what is the right age to get married? Camille, age 10, said, 23 is the best age because you know the person forever by then. Freddie, age 6, said, no age is good to get married at. You got to be a fool to get married. To the question, how can a stranger tell if two people are married? Derek, age 8, said, you might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. Sally, age 9, said, if they look mad at each other, they're probably married. When asked, what do you think your mom and dad have in common? Lori, age 8, said, both don't want any more kids. Billy, age 7, says, they both want me to go to bed at 8 o'clock. When asked, when is it okay to kiss someone? Pam, age 7, says, when they're rich. Kurt, age 7, says, the law says you have to be 18, so I wouldn't want to mess with that. Howard, age 8, says, the rule goes like this. If you kiss someone, then you should marry them and have kids with them. It's the right thing to do. To the question, is it better to be single or married? Anita, age 9, said, it's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. David, age 7, said, if you like each other, then it's better to be married, especially if you want to kiss her. All right, that was Pastor Rick's sermon. Now, Dr. Gary Chapman, and we have a lot of him in our marriage sensation. He is so good. He said, before I got married, dreamed how happy I was going to be. 6 months after, I was miserable, and so was my wife. I'd enter marriage with the attitude that I know how to have a good marriage. Listen to me, and we'll have a good one. There was just one problem. She wouldn't listen. A man was reading his paper early one morning at breakfast. His wife came over to him and patted him on the shoulder, and she looked at him and smiled and says, "I bet you don't know what today is, do ya?" And he looked at her and says, "Of course I know what today is." And then he went back to reading his paper. He didn't have a clue. But he was afraid that he would make his wife upset because she was really sensitive about special occasions. He thought to himself, "Is it her birthday? Oh, that must be it." So when he got to work, he called the florist and had a bouquet of white roses sent to his wife. Then as the day went on, he began worrying the flowers may not be enough for such an important day. He says, "Oh, what if it's our anniversary?" So he went down to the jewelry store from his office. He picked up a beautiful tennis bracelet and had it specially delivered to his wife. As he started home from work, he decided that maybe he should also stop by and buy an expensive box of chocolates to bring to her just in case. He pulls into the driveway and his wife runs out to greet him. And as he gets out of the car and presents her with a box of chocolates, she throws her arms around him and says, "Oh, honey, this is the best Groundhog Day I've ever had." Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. So, saints, what do women want? What do wives want? Well, now, husbands, thanks to this message, all right, you don't have to be electrocuted like Mel Gibson in his movie, What Do Women Want? He got electrocuted, and he was able to read women's minds, and he started finding out what we wanted. You know what? I want you to just say, thank God for this message. Thank God for this message. Amen. You don't have to be electrocuted. We're going to have it today. Amen. Hallelujah. Saints, in any relationship, there are certain needs we want met, but we fear just the opposite. Everybody say the word fear. Fear. And these fears prevent us from having a happy, healthy relationship. And unfortunately, many men are far more comfortable at taking the initiative in the marketplace than they are at home. On the job, men develop mission statements, and they set goals, and they solve problems, and they coordinate staff meetings, and they establish new strategies. They create, they innovate, they're movers, and they're shakers. But at home, they freeze, wanting success, yet fearing failure. So, saints, what would happen if we really took God seriously? If we really learned and then lived out our biblical roles as men and women, as husband and wives. I want you to high five your neighbor right now and say, God doesn't want less for our lives. God wants the best for our lives. God wants the best for our lives. The best for our lives. Hallelujah. God's way liberates us. God's way frees us. God's way emancipates us. Hallelujah. God's way will not rob us from anything. Amen. Anything that's good. Hallelujah. So with that as a background, let's see what God has to say to us today. Would you take your sermon note sheet, and I want us together to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Together. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Amen. At our last past Leadership Envisioning Planning Day, our very own Ruby Davis said, she made an excellent point at one of the ends of one of the sessions. Ruby said, if your faith doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. Your faith got to work at home. It got to work at home. Our faith, saints, will work at home when we live it out. Everybody say, when we live it out. When we live it out. All right. Our faith will work at home when we live it out. All right. So, husbands, we're focusing on you today. Your faith will work out at home if, number one, you live out what? an unbroken commitment. An unbroken commitment. Our verse begins, you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. Saints, often it's good to emphasize different words in a passage. So in our passage, you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. It says, live with your wife. Live with your wife. Now notice, amen, it does not say live at the office. It don't say live at the golf course. It don't say live on the basketball court. It don't say live out with the boys on the corner. It say live with your wife. Live with your wife. Now, I want us to notice, too, that means also not somebody else's wife. Amen. Live with your wife. Hallelujah. Live with your wife. And you know what? It also means not with your girlfriend. Not with your fiancé. I meet so many. Yeah, me and my fiancé, we living together. What does the word of God say? Live with your wife. Amen. Now let's narrow that down just a little bit more and focus on the word live. Live with your wife. Live. The word translated live here occurs just one time in the word of God, and it's right here. And literally it means to house with. Now, we use the term housewife, but we don't use the term house husband. But in a very real sense, that is the term that is used in Greek here. It is saying be house husbands. Live in the house together with your wife. Be domestic. Okay, so husbands, let's hear, how much time do you spend at home? Now, I don't want you to say, well, Pastor told me it's not the quantity of time that's important. It's really the quality of time. I wonder today, saints, how many husbands spend too much time at the office? Because it's easier to work at the office than it is easier to work at home. How many keep working? How many keep working even rather than retire? I will never forget one marriage sensation a session we had. And Mr. John Hayes, he shared with us that he looked forward to retiring because he was going home to his Johnny. He said there were other men on his job that did not want to retire. He said, because they really didn't like their wives, and they didn't want to retire to go home to them. But he couldn't wait to go home to his Johnny. Amen. Praise God. And as we watch Mr. and Mrs. Hayes, we watch them as they travel together, as they just go to Arkansas. I asked them, what did you all do this summer, as hot as it was? And they said, we sat on the porch and sip tea and just enjoyed each other's company. Amen. With the fan going. The fan was going. Amen. Hallelujah. But they are enjoying each other's company. And I pray, Lord, you would make that so for each couple here today. Make it so, Lord. Make it so in the name of Jesus. Now, saints, also, too many of us see the home as a place to retreat. We just run in there and maybe change and we gobble up food and we refuel and then we relaunch to go back out. It's like the home is like a launching pad just to help us get ready to run back out in the world. But God wants you husbands to impact more than anybody or anything else, your wife and your kids. And it's saying, husbands, be a house husband. Amen. Now, Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Now, all of that and more is in this phrase, but some scholars would say that this verse primarily emphasizes this unbroken commitment. And although the culture of our day, as well as the day that Jesus walked in, it tolerated divorce. But God is instructing Christ-following husbands to remain in their marriage. It says, live with your wife. Hallelujah. So husbands, first of all, your faith will work out at home if you, what? Live out an unbroken commitment. All right, now secondly, husbands, your faith will work out at home if you live out, number two, an uncommon knowledge. Amen. Now I know some of you husbands who would say it would be easier to understand quantum physics than it is to understand your wife. And guys, I know some wives who would say the same thing about husbands. But look at what God says. God says, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, the key concepts here are thoughtfulness. Everybody say thoughtfulness. And preoccupation. Everybody say preoccupation. A husband who is living with his wife in an understanding way is thoughtful. He's preoccupied with her needs, with her best interests. He does what he can to relieve his wife of any unnecessary stress. He learns what causes her to worry, and he avoids putting her in those situations. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Would you turn to your neighbor and just say, neighbor, stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Amen. Now, husband, some days, your wife, she might be blue and she might need a little extra dose of tenderness. Some days she might be just fed up with the kids and just say, where did they come from? Some days she might be so upset with coworkers. She might be so frustrated with her boss. And she'll need you to give her a little extra TLC and to give her some relief. Some days she'll be feeling lonely and just need a little extra time with you. And maybe she might just need a good bear hug. Hallelujah. How many know we ladies like hugs? Amen. We like to hug our husband. We like to hug our children. We like to hug. We even like to hug teddy bears. Some of us got stuffed animals we even hug. Some of us hug our little animals. We love hugs. And there's healing in hugs. And we need a little extra TLC. Well, I heard about a husband who didn't care at all about shopping for furniture. But he had a wife who loved antiques. So one year, he took his wife to as many antique stores as he could. It cost him some money and some time, but it proved to be a strong bonding experience for them. One of his friends noticed how much time he was spending shopping and asked him, man, do you like antiques that much? He said, no, man, but I like my wife that much. Hallelujah. Amen. And he reminds me so much of Walter. Walter was sharing one marriage sensation. He was saying, you know, Katie, she used to be watching these decorating the house shows and cooking shows. And he said, I wasn't a bit interested in it. He said, but I wanted to spend time with Katie. So I went and sat down with her. And he said, before long, I was looking at that. And for long, I was really like, what? That's a good idea. What? I'm going to try that. And he said, before he knew it, he was beating Katie to the couch before them shows came on. Hallelujah. But it started out because he liked his wife so much. Amen. And he ended up starting to enjoy what Katie enjoyed. So in this passage, it says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. The idea here, husbands, is be an intelligent husband. Amen. Everybody say the word intelligent. Intelligent. It's saying be an intelligent husband. It's saying, do you know your wife, husband? Do you understand your wife, husband? Your wife, husband. Are you a student of your wife? Are you studying her, moods, her facial expressions, her body language, her tone of voice? Now, I want you to notice in your notes, I placed 5 discussion questions, and I want to ask husbands for you to commit to discussing these questions with your wife to help you understand your wife and your relationship together. The first question says, on a scale from 1 to 10, with 0 being terrible and 10 being a great marriage, where would you like our relationship to be? And then question 2, on a scale from 1 to 10 overall, where would you rate our marriage today? Question 3, as you look at our relationship, what are some specific things we could do over the next 6 weeks that would move us closer to a 10? And question 4, if our marriage was to go on just the way it's been going, What will it be like for us 5, 10, or 20 years? And number 5, what does God want us to pray about as a couple? So I thank you, husbands, for sitting with your wives and discussing these questions. Now, 1 Peter 3:7 says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, this phrase, saints, not only covers having knowledge of your wife, but also knowledge of the Word of God as it relates to being a husband. God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. For a lack of knowledge. So again, husbands, your faith will work out at home if you live out and what uncommon knowledge. All right. Now, thirdly, your faith will work out at home if you live out what? An undeniable tenderness. Amen. As our passage says, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. Now, saints, we struggle with this weaker vessel idea. Amen. Amen. But Pastor Adrian Rogers, he explains it this way. He says, denim is a tough fabric, isn't it? You see people working hard in denim. You see denim everywhere because you could just about do anything, and it's just so tough. Denim is a tough fabric. All right. And then he says, silk, it isn't as tough. Amen. It is more fragile. It is soft. But that doesn't diminish the silk in any way by making that claim. In fact, silk is more valuable than denim. Amen. You just go to the store and you buy a silk pillow or a denim pillow, and you're going to pay a lot more for the silk, or a silk slip. You're going to pay a lot more for silk. And you treat silk with greater care than you do denim. Amen? Amen. So in the same way, husbands, you are instructed here to treat your wives with greater care. Hallelujah. With an undeniable tenderness. Amen. Newt Larson, he's a pastor at the chapel in Akron, and Pastor Rick and I have gone to hear him several times. He was speaking at a church growth conference several years ago, and he said this. If you really want to see how successful a man really is, then take a good look at his wife. Look at her. Look at her eyes. Is she typical like all the rest, just a part of the crowd? Is her face a little hardened by disappointments and unmet needs? Are her eyes a little dulled by a bit of emptiness? Or does she shine? Is her countenance warm? Are her eyes at peace? Is she a cut above the crowd because of the security and self-confidence her husband's love gives her? Husbands, I want you to hear this. There is a transforming power when real men love. Men, husbands, y'all got a power. Ooh, y'all got a power. And it is a transforming power. Hallelujah. You have a transforming power in our lives. Now, we all know that a wife is responsible for her own walk with Jesus Christ. But saints, a husband's sacrificial love can draw her to the Savior's side. And her husband's love can put love in her heart. It can put joy in her spirit and pep in her step. Hallelujah. That's what kind of power a husband has. Now, saints, Christ's love transformed us. Amen. Christ's love transformed us as individuals and as the church. Christ's love sanctified us, picked us up, and put us on solid ground. Christ's love makes us stand out. And saints, a husband's love can make his wife stand out in a crowd. Amen. I want us to read this together, Colossians 3, verse 19. Together it says, husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Let's continue to Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wife, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out in her. Hallelujah! Thank you, thank you, thank you. So husbands, your faith will work out at home if you live out what? An undeniable tenderness. Amen. Now, fourthly, husbands, your faith will work out at home if you live out what? An unceasing admiration. A man came to visit a counselor and said, I just don't love my wife anymore. I used to love everything about her, but now I hate what she has become. The counselor asked him, well, how long have you been married? The man said, 15 years. The counselor continued, and you hate what your wife has become over the past 15 years? The man folded his arms smugly and said, yeah, that's right. Well, just one more question. Who has been the biggest influence on your wife since you got married? Oops, there it is. Husbands, our text says, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. So treat her with honor. Proverbs 5:18 says, let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, saints, to have an unceasing admiration, it means, husbands, to love your wives, flaws and all, weaknesses and all. We just sang, Lord, your love reveals, I can see the weaknesses so clearly in me. So thank you for the power of your love that I can rise and have life. And so even with our weaknesses, husbands, when you see our weaknesses, when you see our flaws, that you would still have an unceasing admiration to love us in spite of those things. Even when your wife is late. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Where is he at? Woo! Even when your wife has lost her cell phone for the 27th time this year. Even when she has misplaced the keys again. Hallelujah. To have an unceasing admiration in spite of our flaws. Hallelujah. Yes, saints, a successful marriage requires falling in love many times and also with the same person. Amen. Always with the same person. Many times, same person. It's been said that a happy man marries the girl he loves, and a happier man loves the girl he marries. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So fourthly, again, husbands, your faith will work out at home if you live out an unceasing admiration. Amen. Well, husbands, what will be the result of this kind of work at home? Well, it says you husbands live in the same way. Live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir in the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Amen. What will be the result of this kind of work at home? Your prayers will be helped, husband. Now, husbands, I know you want God to answer your prayers. And it's an awful thing to want God to do something in your life, in your home, on your job, in your career, and then to wake up in the morning or to lay down at night and to stare up at the ceiling and say, God isn't listening to me. That's an awful feeling, to just know in your heart, God isn't even listening. This passage tells us one reason that our prayers may not be answered. So husbands, if you want your prayers to be helped and not hindered, you have to live with your wife in a certain way. It says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now, saints, this text isn't teaching that praying helps us live right. That's not what it's saying. This text is saying that living right helps us to pray. Hallelujah. It's true that praying is one of the ways that God has appointed to help us live in the way we should. But the point here in this text is true the opposite way around. God has appointed a way for us to live
which will help us pray.
Hallelujah.
And there are ways to live, this scripture says, that hinders prayers, and there's a way to live that helps our prayers. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, so if you're about to place your gift on the altar, and remember that someone is angry with you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go and make peace with that person, then come back and offer your gift to God. Amen. So, specifically today, husbands, if you want your prayers to be helped and not hindered, you have to live with your wife in a certain way. There has to be an effort to understand her. There has to be an effort so as to know her needs. There has to be an effort to love her as Christ loved the church. Now, I wanted to recommend this book to everyone here. It's When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box. It's by John Olbert, and it's just an awesome book. It's about living passionately and boldly, and it's about being actively in the game in a way that pleases God, the game of life in a way that pleases and brings honor to God. It is to God. It is so good. It's called When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box. But just I wanted to just share a little excerpt out of this book, and it's about preventing regret. It's in chapter 9, preventing regret. And it says, we need to ask ourselves what we are doing or not doing with our lives now that could lead to deep regret. Life always plays in a forward direction. Life never goes backwards. Once a move is made, there's no going back. And he talks about a Scottish essayist and historian, famous person named Tom Carroll. And Carroll had married his secretary. Her name was Jane Welsh. She was highly intelligent, very attractive. She continued to serve as his secretary after their marriage. He says sometime after their marriage, Jane became ill. And Carl, who was perhaps not much tempered by money, he was so deeply devoted to his work, he did not even seem to notice his wife's ill health much. He was so absorbed into what he was doing and allowed her to continue working, but she had cancer. Eventually, she was confined to bed. And although he truly loved her, he found that he did not have much time to stay with her or to give her much attention. After several years of this, Jane died. The day of her funeral was stormy, and it describes the funeral. And then after the service, he went upstairs to her room and sat in the chair next to her bed that he had so little time for. And he felt so empty, and he noticed that her diary is lying on the table next to her bed. He picked it up and began to read. On one entire page, she had written one single line, and it was this. Yesterday, he spent an hour with me, and it was like heaven. Oh, I love him so. And then, all of a sudden, a reality that he had somehow been too blind to see how much she had loved him. And he had been too busy to notice how much he had meant to her. He had not even seen her suffering. He had not seen her love. Then Thomas turned to the next page of her diary. He read the words that would break his heart and that he could never forget. She wrote, I have listened all day to hear his steps in the hallway, but now it's late and I guess he won't come by today. He read a little bit more of her book and then he put it back on the table and he ran out of the house. Family and friends found him in the back of the churchyard, kneeling in the earth at the side of her grave, covered with mud. His eyes were red from weeping. Tears were rolling down his face, and he said, if only I had known, if only I had known. And the whole chapter is about preventing regret and that there's no reverse button in our lives. Hallelujah. So husbands, there has to be a special love for your wife, a special concern for her weaknesses, a special concern for what she especially needs from you, husband. There has to be a recognition that she is, as this text says, a fellow heir in the grace of life, and then a giving of that honor to her, rather than belittling her, demeaning her, being sour with her, and critical. You see, when husbands live like this, our text says, when you live with understanding, with tender care and honor, your prayers will not be hindered. If
You do not live like this. This text says your prayers will be hindered. So it may be, saints, that there's some changes that might need to be made at home. And nothing is more important than just unclogging those streams of prayer, those streams of power that are clogged up at home. Hallelujah. Just determine I'm going to go home today and unclog those streams of prayer and power. Unclog them in the name of Jesus, saint. Unclog them, husband. Unclog them, wives, in the name of Jesus. Ecclesiastes gives us a verse to remember. It says, enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which God has given to you under the sun, for this is your reward in life. Hallelujah. In other words, and I printed this in our notes, become your wife's closest lifelong companion. What does companionship look like? Hallelujah. Companionship means a same team mentality. Everybody say same team. Same team. Hallelujah. Companionship means real time for communion. Amen. Real time. Companionship means sharing your deepest hopes, dreams, and thoughts. Oh, praise God. There's many marriages here that I could lift up today, but one was the lowest in Ben. Hallelujah. When this companionship, this is, it says, what does it look like? You all had that companionship. One story you told that was just so funny to me, that when he would take you, and you love to play games on those machines, and he would take you. He didn't like to play them, but he loved to watch you play them. And when he got tired of that, he would go and do something. But he said, the lowest, the minute you're ready to go, you just click that button, and I will be here, and I will. He wouldn't let you go home by your nothing. As soon as you got tired, he was there. Just companionship, companionship. Companionship, saints, means sharing your deepest hopes, your deepest dreams, your deepest thoughts. Hallelujah. Now, over the years, I have seen many marriages ruined by husbands who will talk about deep things with their buddies, with their coworkers, with the fella on the corner, with the barber, whatever, but won't share with his wife, his hopes, his dreams, his thoughts. But companionship with your wife, husband, it means sharing your thoughts, your dreams, and your hopes with her. Hallelujah. Because you on the same team. Amen. You on the same team. And secondly, what do we have here? Husbands, become what? Her spiritual covering. Husbands, take on the leadership role you were born for. You are to behave in the marriage the way Christ behaves in the church. You have a covenant responsibility in this union, husbands, to rise up and to pray, to rise up and to believe, to rise up and stay hooked to the source, to rise up and make the first move toward reconciliation, to rise up and let your wife grow into freedom, to rise up and be the first to forgive, to rise up and be the first to forget, to rise up and to encourage your wife. Become, husband, your wife's spiritual covering. Hallelujah. Amen. And thirdly, saints, husbands, you are to what? Become her lover. Hallelujah. Proverbs 30, 21 through 23 says this. Under three things the earth trembles. Under four it cannot bear up. One, a servant who becomes king. Second, a fool who is full of food. Third, an unloved woman who is married. And a maidservant who displaces her mistress. Proverbs 5, 18 through 20 says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Now, during premarital counseling, I have heard this question from time to time. Yeah, I hear that. But what if she gets fat? Well, the answer is this, husbands. Command your emotions. Command your emotions, husbands. Don't serve your emotions. Command your emotions. And you can tell your wife, honey, your body is like fine wine that gets better and better and better.
You just talk to her and say, oh, my darling, I just can't get enough of your loving, baby. Oh, I just don't know why I can't get enough of your loving, baby. Just tell her, what kind of love is this that you're giving me? Oh, is it in your kiss or just because you're sweet? You go ahead, husband. You break it out to her, husband. Just break it on out to her. Now, if you can sing, go ahead and sing. Get on your knee and sing to her. And if you can't sing, you can go out to the store. You can buy a card like this and give it to her. Barry will sing it for you. Just go get the card and give it to him. He'll sing it for you. All right, husbands, they got him at the stone. They singing other songs. He'll sing it for you. All right, husbands, they got him at the stone. They singing other songs at the store, too. Hallelujah. Amen. Can't get enough of your love, baby. That's what you tell her. That's what you tell her. Amen. Hallelujah. One husband's testimony, he says, soon after our last child left home for college, my wife was resting next to me on the couch with her head in my lap. I carefully removed her glasses. You know, honey, he said sweetly, without your glasses, you look like the same beautiful young woman I married. Honey, she replied with a grin, without my glasses, you still look pretty good too. Hallelujah. 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 Husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. It says a husband should love their wives as their own bodies. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. Hallelujah. The biblical understanding of marriage is a radical one, saints. It's not simply a relationship between two people. The Bible sees a husband and a wife as a unity. They are no longer two. They are one. Hallelujah. Now, it says husbands shall love their wives as their own bodies. Ephesians 5:28. Now, a man loves his body out of practical necessity. He needs his body. He depends on his body for everything he does. If he expects his body to serve him well, he must take care of his body. He cannot take care of himself without at the same time taking care of his body, for he and his body are one. This says, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. Amen. Well, how should I love my wife, you might ask? Well, you take care of something you love. How many know if you love it, you're going to take care of it? It just makes sense. If you take good care of your car, hallelujah, it's going to run better. Amen. Amen. Samantha asked me, what is that red light that keeps coming on your car? I said, oh, I really don't know. She said, you need to find out what that is, advice. Oh, yeah, maybe I do. But if you take good care of your car, it's going to run better. Amen. You take care of your business, it's going to return a better profit for you. You take care of your body, you're going to be in better health. You take good care of your wife, and she will be a better helpmate. She will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. This says a husband who loves his wife will take care of her so she can fulfill her calling. It is a calling that will bless him. It will bless you, dear husband. It is a calling that will bring her personal fulfillment as well, for it accords with her God-created nature. Her husband wants fulfillment for her as he wants it for himself. He loves her as he loves his own body. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. That means husbands developing a sensitive heart. If you stub your toe, if you bump your head, you're going to take special care of that head. Amen. You're going to take special care of that toe. Well, likewise, a husband needs to monitor his wife's health as his own. If his wife is physically overtaxed, he may have to make some adjustments and consider perhaps some of the following. They need to ask, are our family's priorities right? Does my wife need some household help? Are the children helping? Are there some things that maybe I could be taking over? Does she need a holiday? Does she need a break? Now, husbands, you have to ask. You know your wife. You must ask yourself these questions.
Husbands, you are one with your wife. Your love for her is an expression of your love for yourself. It springs from your unity from her. And this is some honest self-interest. It's some honest, good self-interest. It says, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Amen. And you will be blessed because God's intention is that you love your wife as yourself. Now, saints, this includes affirmation. Your wife needs to be affirmed. Affirm means to declare positively. A wife needs to be affirmed by her own, everybody say own husband. She needs to know that she is important to you. Your wife needs to know she is important to you. Now, this book is an excellent book. It's called His Needs, Her Needs. It's by Willard F. Harley, Jr. Amen. Now, Kanye Walter has shared this little portion with us in Marriage Sensation, and I just wanted to share it with you. It says, affection is the cement of a relationship. To most women, affection symbolizes security, protection, comfort, and approval, vitally important in our eyes. When a husband shows his wife affection, he sends the following messages. I'll take care of you and I'll protect you. You are important to me and I don't want anything to happen to you. I'm concerned about the problems you face and I am with you. I think you've done a good job and I'm proud of you. Amen. This is a good book that Katie and Walter introduced us to, and I just encourage everyone to pick that up. Now, husbands, your wife needs to know that she is your woman and you are her man. Amen. So that means your wife needs to be affirmed sexually. Amen. You must take care of your wife. Hallelujah. Now, this means even more than just taking her to bed. It means taking her to bed now, but it means even more than taking her to bed. Husbands, your wife's confidence in herself as a woman must extend beyond the bedroom. You see, the quiet assurance that she is loved and that she is cherished and that she is wanted as a woman by a particular man, her husband, provides an undertone for her whole day. Hallelujah. And you can write this down, Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, and it really describes that. You see, the kind of assurance that comes from the accumulation of many little affirmations puts that joy in your wife's spirit. So I printed down for husbands just a few little things you could say. And I know you'll be so creative because you know your wife. But this was just to get you started or keep you going. You know, those goodbye honey kisses in the morning, hello kisses in the evening, and whoa, ha, do you sure look good, baby? Oh, when she's all dressed up, because you know what? We waiting on you to say something. We waiting on you to say something. Hallelujah. And when you do, oh my goodness, it just puts joy in our spirit. Oh, I really do love you. Hallelujah. Amen. And Pastor Rick, he's gotten quite good, even with my hairstyles. Hallelujah. He never knows what I'm going to look like. And so some of them he likes better than others. So some of the ones that he don't like that well, he says, oh, you're looking really unique there today. Hallelujah. He's gotten real good. He used to say, oh, I don't like that one. He don't say that no more. He don't say that no more. He said, oh, that you're looking really unique today. Hallelujah. But he never know what I'm going to look like. Hallelujah. Oh, because at home, I love colors. I have purple hair, orange hair, green hair. I have all kinds of hair. I tell you, I be looking like some of them outer space people in the movies that I like. Hallelujah. Them sci-fi movies. So he never know what he's going to see when he come home. Hallelujah. But that's the way I like it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way, I like it, Hallelujah. So if y'all just stop by our house, you never know what I'm going to look like when I answer that door. But I'm coming to the door with my purple hair, all right. Amen. Amen. But a wife's self-confidence as a woman, hallelujah, that she receives from her husband will leave its mark on everything she does. Amen.
And indeed, a wife needs to know that her relationship with her husband is unique, amen, and it's God-ordained. She needs to be affirmed in her role as a wife. Affirmation must be rooted in appreciation. Husbands, you need to voice your appreciation to your wife. Now, I just jotted down a few little ideas for you. I know you'll take it and run with it. Little things like, ooh, I enjoy coming home to you at night, or ooh, I feel peace or joy or whatever you feel the minute you come in at the door, or something like, ooh, your meals are always lovely. Pastor Rick can't say that about my meals. Hallelujah. He just can't say that. Praise God. But you know what? Last night, I was able to put a good meal together, and he did let me know he appreciated that dinner last night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mary James, for helping me out. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, he liked that dinner last night. Them greens was good, Mary. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So just let your wife know you appreciate the meal she puts before you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let her know what you appreciate. Amen. A wife needs to know that she is appreciated for herself, who she is, that she's a unique individual, hallelujah, handcrafted by the Creator, amen. She's got special gifts and special talents. She's got a style that's distinct from anybody else, hallelujah. So let me just warn you about this, husbands. Don't be comparing your wife to any other woman, amen. Don't do it. Don't compare. We don't compare our children to others' children. Don't compare your wife to other women. Now, remember, husband, I know you don't like being compared to other men either. Amen. We're all uniquely created by God, and we must appreciate one another. Amen. And since love has a short memory, it needs continual reminders. So just say, I love you, honey, in any way you can. Write her a love note. Praise God. Sometimes when I go away and I'll open up my bag and there Pastor Rick has put in some kind of note. Come back home to me with a smiling face or something cute. So write her a love letter. And also, men, you can always, you never go wrong, always say it with flowers. We ladies like flowers, don't we? We like flowers. We like flowers. So today, husbands, we want to give you great joy of saying I love you with flowers today. So at this time, as we now begin to play a video clip that's been prepared, with the background sung by Lionel Richie, You Are. Husbands, you are now invited to come forward and to select a rose for your wife. And then take it to her, present it to her, and give her a kiss. We would like for you to twirl her around and do a little dance with her. And even sing to her, even if you can't sing. Go ahead, just go ahead. Go ahead, try to sing. Lip sing, let Lionel sing it for you if you can't sing. Give her a hug. And if your wife is not here, we ask you to come select a rose anyways. You take it home to her and present her with a rose and a kiss when you get home. Husband, would you rise to your feet? And would you come forward and would you select a rose for your wife? We would like to see you dance with your wife. Dr. Phil says in his book, Love Smart, he says it's never too late to start a love affair with the woman you're already with. Hallelujah. It's never too late to start a love affair with the woman you're already with. Hallelujah! Yeah! Woo!
And
Jesus. Saints, let's join our hearts in prayer. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit.